The question is, this morning, is my title. Why do we believe in communion? No, that's the wrong one. Why do we believe in baptism? If you go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, I'm reading the King James Version. We'll start with one scripture first, and then we'll move on to others as we go along. This topic is a Christian foundation, and the title is, Why Do We Believe in Baptism? Our text is Matthew 28, 19, King James. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Everybody say, baptizing them. So we're commanded by Jesus, the head of the church, to go baptizing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. That's how we do it. So the word baptism is somewhat, sometimes confusing in some circles regarding, what it actually really means. And so I'm going to talk about, let's just mention three baptism. People said there's all kinds of baptism, but the three that you actually need to know about is, number one, baptism. The word baptism, the word actually is baptizo, the Greek word. It means to be put under or to put into, to plunge into. And the first thing happens when you get born again, you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And many of you have, and remember. The first thing happens is that the Holy Spirit, who is here now, He was here before you ever got saved. The Holy Spirit, when you received Jesus, He actually took your spirit and made it one with Jesus. He took you, as you received Jesus, and put you into the body of Christ, who are situated all over the world, and some in heaven. So you belong to the body of Christ. So Holy Spirit, at least, we can say this, Jesus does it. He baptizes you in the Holy Spirit, by His Spirit. He puts you into the Holy Spirit puts you into the body. And then later on, if you want to, you can be baptized with the Spirit. The Bible says that, you can find that scripture, you'll find it on your own. The first it's over there in the, I believe the 6th chapter of Romans and 12th chapter of the 1 Corinthians. So you could actually, the second baptism you need to be concerned about is the one that you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And under what we see in Scripture, not just Pentecostals, but in Scripture, everybody say Scripture. That's how we go by. People say, well, I've been baptized, but they never had the evidence. I usually say, you're almost baptized. It says in there, you speak with tongues immediately. You get baptized. Jesus promised, I'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit, didn't He? So He tells His church, we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be a powerful witness for Jesus. I said, we need the Holy Spirit to be Baba Yeshiba. That's my Ojibwe coming up. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be a powerful witness for Jesus. Jesus had to be filled with the Spirit. So we all need to be filled with the Spirit. So the Bible says that Jesus said, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And John the Baptist came along and said the same thing. He said, Jesus said, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit in fire. And so I remember the time when I was filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of you remember the day you were filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me see your hand honestly. Okay. What happened to you? Did you turn blue? No. You spoke with tongues, right? You know, you speak with utter tongues, and so, you know, that's your private language, your private, a messenger to Jesus. You can talk to God in tongues. The Bible says when a man speaks with tongues, he talks to God only. Even you don't understand. And you continue on this prayer language by faith all the rest of your days on earth. You talk to God. In fact, you can pray, without any kind of, selfishness about the will of God for people's lives. Because we all think everybody needs something, so we want to pray for them. Say, for instance, we go to a man or woman and say, you need a partner. We're going to pray you'll have a husband. They said, no, I don't want no husband. No, we're going to pray that anyway, because you need one. And so we don't know what people need, but God does. The Spirit, the Bible says the Spirit knows everybody. God knows whatever you need. And so you pray in tongues. In a secret code. How many ever heard about the code talkers? Back in the day, you know, the Navajos, they had this language they couldn't decipher because the enemy was, they was figuring out, okay, they're going to go to this place. Let's go there first and let's kill them. They're going to try this bomb and we're going to use this. So they would intercept these guys, but they used the Navajos to tell each other languages because they would talk in the war. Which war was this? The Korean War. Is that true? World War II? You guys don't know what you're doing, talking about. I think, one of the wars, anyway, believe me, it's there somewhere. I saw it on Hollywood's picture show. They tell all the truth. Anyway, so they couldn't figure it out, and so they won the war, or at least part of the war, because of these code talkers. And you, my brothers and sisters, can win the war in your life too by having a code-talking experience with Jesus, with God. The Bible says when you speak in tongues, you speak the perfect will of God. We should be talking about speaking the Holy Ghost this morning, said. But anyway, let's move on to that. We'll come back to that later. So I have a whole series on it. It's a 24-part series on it. You can buy it today. It's going on sale for two cases for one. Right? Anyway. I don't know if anybody appreciates that, but anyway, listen. You know, we need to understand that we do have a language that we can talk to God. The Bible says no man understands them, howbeit we speak in the mysteries to God. The word mysteries in that verse of Scripture talks about divine secrets. 1 Corinthians 14, 2, I believe it is, or 14:2, I believe it is. So we speak in the Spirit. So Holy Ghost helps us. So when you get filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit, you speak in that language. You talk to God. Even you don't understand it. Nobody understands it. People ask, well, what is he saying? What is he saying? I said, I don't know. He's not talking to me. You know? So you're talking to God. You're talking to God. And so you need to, if you don't have that today, you need to get it. It'll help you immensely. It'll strengthen you. It'll bless you your whole life up. Anyway. And so you have the Jesus baptizing you, the Holy Spirit baptizing you into the body of Christ. Jesus baptizing you with the Holy Spirit and fire for service, right? And then we have people that are ministry people that are designated to baptize others in water. So baptism of water in the water does not save you. As some have, asserted themselves to say. Baptizing in water does not save you, does not make you be eligible to go to heaven. You're already eligible. You're already going to heaven because you received Jesus. If baptism in water saves you, like some say, or in the name of Jesus, in water, is a special method so that you can be saved, really be saved, then that would be works. Yeah? So there's nothing about works. Let me just veer off here for a second, because the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and as I walked in and said this to me, I don't know if I should have done it earlier, excuse me, he said, Ephesians 2:8 says, you are saved. Let's put that up on the screen, my lady here. Ephesians 2:8. Let's read it here in the King James Version. Let's all say it together. Can we do it together? Let's all, 1, 2, 3. By grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. So we've been saved by grace, God's unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. See, God loves you before you ever were nice. And stop being critical of people who've fallen away from Jesus, because God still loves them. They're off on something. Okay? So, you know, God did it. You didn't earn it. You didn't have to have grade 12 or, you know, earn certain such a bracket of money. You don't have to do a lot of good things. God did it by His, you know, His grace. And through faith. You believed. You believed God. So the Lord said to me that there are people here that are trying, they're striving. You're trying to do things on your own, try to, you know, whatever in life you're doing right now. And you're just barely, like Keith Moore says, just barely falling into the water, one nostril above the water. Just going under. Any moment you're going to die. But the Lord said, just stop it, because it's by the grace of God you're going to do everything in life. This does not stop once you're saved. The grace of God continues. God favors you every morning. The Bible says His favor and grace are new every day. Well, two people are excited about it. This is where you should get up and start dancing. And so people keep striving and striving. They try to be nice, try to be good. Like, you know, the only way you can be nice is follow the Bible and act on it. You know, when you start acting on the Word of God, the Holy Spirit comes to you. He's called your helper. He'll help you act on the Word. And the Word of God is already empowered. It's already anointed. We don't have to say, Lord, anoint your Word. No, the Word is already anointed. Amen? It's already anointed. The Word of God is the Bible says, is quick and powerful. He didn't say if you pray about it. No, He said it is. Quick and powerful. I can see there's a lot of need this morning here. And so we're going to talk about, let's start all over again. So those three baptisms. So Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. That's what you should be concerned about. You got to figure out, and that's by the grace of God. Get born again. You're put into the body of Christ. You're a member of a body of Christ all over the world. Everybody say, I am a member of the body of Christ. A little slow there. So we are all members of the body of Christ. We're in the same family. We're in the same, you know, body. We're family. Look at your neighbor and say, we're family. Where are we eating today? No. So the second one is Jesus. The second one is we're baptized with the Holy Ghost. Say, we're baptized by Jesus with the Holy Ghost. Now say this. Say, I was baptized in water. See, that's somebody baptized you in water. I was baptized. I was telling the people last week that I was baptized in November in the Boulevard Lake. This year, as a commemoration, we'll be doing it again this year. If you want to sign up now. I was baptized in the water. Do you want to be baptized in the water? in Boulevard? You've been baptized. Let's try it again. No, yeah, it's good. So we're going to be baptizing shortly this morning. It's really hot in here where you don't want to go. Someplace you want to go. So we're going to be baptizing in water. So I want everybody to attend. If you can. Can you attend? I'm inviting you. Pastor Ken, will you come to the baptism? Yeah, you'll be there. Okay. So I'm going to invite everyone to come. If those of you online, you drive over now. You can make over here. You don't have to. You can be here on time. So we're going to invite everybody to come and be. You know, if you want to, you can jump in too. Right? You don't have no special class. Just say, I was baptized, in the body of Christ. So, and I want to get it in water. So we need to be able to recognize what the baptism is for. It is a little warmer in here, right? Do you find it a little bit warm? Huh? You don't find it nothing? No? Okay. You know I'm teasing you. I love you with all my heart. You don't believe me. Okay. He's a lying man. No. Haven't given that up. Okay. All right. So the main idea, somebody put it this way, as we say. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace. In other words, baptism in water really signifies actually what happened to you spiritually. So you're going out there, you're going to be baptized in water, and telling everybody, I'm brand new, I'm with Jesus, I'm going to start a new life. Jesus commanded us to practice this, do this. And it's actually what's already happened on the inside. I'm already baptized in the Holy Ghost, into the body of Christ, on the inside. My spirit is one with Jesus already. So I'm baptizing in water to signify that that is true. So when you get baptized in the water, that's what you're saying. And you're following the command that Jesus asked you to. So baptism is one of two ordinances Jesus gave to the church to follow. The other one, of course, as we mentioned earlier, is communion. Both are references to the new covenant realities of life and the blessings that we have in Christ. Every believer ought to know about baptism, water baptism, what it means for them in faith. Everybody who has been born again must at some point know and act in faith for themselves to be water baptized, because they come to Christ for salvation and now they're following Christ all their lives. So as we mentioned, the definition of Greek word for baptism is baptizo, spelled as B-A-P-T-I-D-Z-O. B-A-P-T-I-D-Z-O. It means to dip or immerse. You could add on a few words you want to fully, it means there. It means to be fully put into or to immerse. So, we need to recognize this water baptism. Jesus, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, that the Bible says Jesus, the Lord himself, was baptized by John in the River Jordan. And it says to fulfill Scripture. So John the Baptist said, no, Jesus, you need to be baptizing me. And Jesus said, no, to fulfill Scripture, we must do this. And so it said that in there. So Jesus went down there in John chapter 3, verse 13 to 15, New Living, I'm reading. Went down from Galilee to Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? Jesus said it should be done, for you must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. Jesus mentioned it was to fulfill all righteousness. And believers should take heed as what Jesus said. Baptism is the next right thing to do after coming to Jesus or Jesus Christ for salvation. You know, we talk about salvation, the other terms are synonymous, or they mean the same thing as being saved. When people say, are you saved? It means, are you born again? It's the same thing. We use these terms interchangeably, and sometimes people are not familiar with these terms. And I know years ago when I came into the body of Christ, I heard the word being saved. Are you saved? You know, and you know, can sometimes tick you off. People ask you, "Are you saved?" We're talking about being saved. I'm saved. So we need to recognize these terms are all the same thing. Notice over here, verse 13 of Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 17 to 18. 17 there. After this, his baptism, verse 13, notice verse 13. Jesus came up out of the water, and the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and sitting on him. A voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." So, we see, the Spirit of God coming upon Jesus. From that time on, the Bible says Jesus began to do his ministry, and then from that point on, we see supernatural feats done by him, healings and miracles and all that kind of stuff was going on in his life. We see another incident over here in the New Testament where a person was being baptized in Acts chapter 8, verse 38. Another instance of water baptism. Philip was baptized, or at least baptized a government official who believed in Jesus and was baptized after his salvation. This baptism confirms his faith in Jesus as his personal Lord and his Savior. So Acts chapter 3, verse 36, 38. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. As mentioned, baptism is one of two ordinances that the Lord gave to the church, water baptism and communion. These two symbolize the significance of Christian doctrine. Jesus himself commissioned and confirmed both of these practices before he ascended up to heaven. What baptism symbolizes? What does this symbolize? As we mentioned, water baptism is an outward witness of a testimony of an acknowledgement of the inward grace of God through salvation in Jesus. You have died to your old self, and now you're living the new self, the new life in Christ. It's a witness and testimony that new life in Christ, your new life in Christ has begun. Now you're living as a new believer. So from that time on, you'll live differently. I am identified with Jesus. Now I'm living with and for God in Christ. That's what you're saying. The question was, Who should be water baptized? The question is always, who can be baptized? It's only for born-again believers, those who have repented of their sins. The word repent means to change your mind about how you're living. Repent, that's all it is. Repent means change your mind, change your life by your thinking. I'm not going to live for myself. I'm going to live for Jesus anymore. If you've done that, then you can be water baptized. I remember very emphatically that I made a decision to follow Jesus. I didn't care what my friends said, what my family said. My family were staunch Christian or Catholic people at that point. They were not saved. They didn't live like a Christian. They lived like they were demon-possessed almost. Drinking, stealing, fighting, cheating, anything you can mention that's against God. And they said they were Christians, went to church, but didn't live like a Christian. So when I got saved, I said, I'm going to live for Jesus. So when you're baptized this morning, or if you want to be baptized, you have to live for God. You say, I want to live for God, not on your own power, by God's power. You can't do this on your own. Like you said, don't try this at home. Live for God, and God will empower you. Everybody say, God will empower me. You don't do this by yourself. You don't live a Christian life on your own. Some people say, well, I can be a good Christian, live at home. No, you can't. Ask your cat and dog. If they could tell you, you say, meow, meow, meow. They'd probably complain about you. Right? You ever see those cats? You know, they slap people. Whack, 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 whack. We used to have two cats, and they were mean, right, Anita? One was mean. Okay, so one was born again, one was not. And they were mean. These cats, man, I think one was demon-possessed for sure, I think. But we have two dogs, and one of them we think is kind of demon-possessed. Now, Pastor Ken, you come over to my place, lay hands on them. They were fighting this morning. One is just so overprotective of Anita. She just has to stand there. The other one just goes crazy. Anybody have dogs like that? They're just like overprotected. Yeah, yeah. You do too, yeah. You couldn't sit by yourself or by your wife. Okay. Well, I think we need to talk after the service. Oh, man. We can erase this, right? Somebody goes on television. Okay, you know, they say, you know, my wife and them, they were editing. They spent, I don't know, hours editing one program, like just days at a time. We got to take this off. They take this. We take this joke off. Take that off. I said, you're taking the whole thing out. Out of an hour and 15-minute program, is like only 10 minutes on it. What do we pay you guys on here for? Anyway, let's go back to baptism, eh? Okay, all right. Okay, so God's people should acknowledge or have the knowledge to be sure it's not about just joining a church or joining a denomination, but it's an act of obedience. Everybody say act of obedience. To order God, Jesus spoke. You know, he's the head of the church, and he's telling you. That person who's being water baptized is witnessing he's repented of his sins, and he believes in his heart that Jesus is Lord and the Savior of his life, and that God has forgiven him all his sins. That he's not only just forgiven, but he has a brand new heart, a brand new spirit right now. He's new. They have thoroughly have understood that they have become a new person in Christ, according to Scripture. Here's a reference that you need to understand. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this: therefore, if any man be in Christ, and the only way you can be in Christ is to come to God, be born again, and to come be put into the body of Christ, then you be in Christ. You can't be in Christ by yourself. You got to come to God, repent, and the Holy Spirit takes you and puts you into the body. You can't kind of sneak in. You can't sneak in. You know? I remember Ed Wesley, he used to sneak into the movies when he was a kid. That reminds you of that. Yeah. But anyway, they finally caught up to him. So, they have only understood that they have become new people. This means if anyone who belongs to Jesus or Christ has become a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says in the New Living Translation. Everybody say a new person. So when you're born again, you're brand new. If you go to God and you thought about all the sins you did before, you say, God, I'm so sorry. And then the devil gets on you, even you're a Christian, and he tells you about all the bad things you did, and some relatives tells you, look, you did this, you did that, and it's all in the past. And you go to God because someone told you about your past, reminded you about your past. But the Bible says you don't have a past. It's brand new. But the cops remember. Right? They'll remember. You know, they come and arrest you. You just got born again. They said, let me out of this jail. I'm new. I don't have to serve my time here. You know? No, you're going to have to serve your time. I have a friend, a Facebook friend. He friended me, and he came back to visit me one time in my office. He's doing some music. He's like a really good musician. Him and his wife are really good. I mean, really good. So they come in my office. Pastor Ken happened to come by. He's like nosy sometimes. Comes and listens and I don't know what's going on. And they told us about it. He said, you know what? I want to tell you a story. He says, I went to prison. I killed somebody. I went in there. I killed, you know, my girlfriend's boyfriend. How many people know he needs to be in jail? Yeah, you can't just go around killing people. So anyway, he kills this guy and goes to jail. And in jail, Jesus shows up. Jesus comes into his prison cell. He says, I'm Jesus. I come to get you out. He said, okay. And he thought, well, next week or today should be out today. No, he stayed in there another 10 years or so. Yeah. He thought he's coming out right away. I just thought to tell you that in case you want to kill somebody. You're still going to pay for it. You're still going to have to pay for it. Yeah? We know another guy. He committed all kinds of crimes, and he was committed to the prison. He would never get out. And he heard, they were giving, Brother Hagin gave materials to prison people for free. They'd go in the prison there, and they'd give all the stuff. And he started reading all Brother Hagin's materials, and he started confessing Mark 11:23-24. He says, I'm coming out of there. He speak to those doors. I'm out of here. I'm coming out of here. Doors, I'm going to walk through you. I'm coming out of here. And every year parole comes, he said, you'll never get out of here. You robbed banks, and you broke every kind of law in America, and you'll never get out of here. So every year it goes up for renewal. They said, no, you can't get out. He said, one day, he said he'd go out in the yard, and he'd speak to that. You know, he'd believe in he got born again, and he starts speaking the word of God. He spoke to those doors. Doors, I'm coming out of here. I'm speaking to my mountain right now. I'm coming out of here. One day, came to his cell. They said, you know what? We need you're free. Oh. They let him out. They said, here we have signatories here that you've been released from jail. You've been forgiven. It's all gone. Hallelujah. Now he's out preaching the gospel all over America, has his own plane, traveling everywhere, preaching the gospel and talking about Mark 11:23-24. That Jesus saves, baptizes you, and changes your life. And no matter how bad it seems right now, you know, I can say this under anointing and feel good about it, but when I'm out there, there's no anointing. Like, like Brother Hagin used to say, everybody, you know, in church Sunday morning singing songs, oh, they're tough. Singing about how they're victors and strong in Christ, you know, and where's the devil, you know, singing. But they get out there after on their own, and devil shows up. But, you know, God's real no matter how we feel. So I like that young lady that got up here this morning. Stephanie. Is that Stephanie? What's her name? Jane? No. It's Daytona. I told Daytona, I said, you know what? She told me her hair, she got wet her hair. Her hair goes like this, right? But she never went to a salon. It just goes like that. I said, you know how much money people pay for that kind of hairstyle? All she has to do is put water on it and just like John's hair over there. Right, John? You paid for that, okay. Well, I'm sorry about that. That's good. Where's that young lady? She's back there. She's beautiful hair. Next time you see her, look at her. She's beautiful hair. It is beautiful hair. I told her that last week too. So New Living says, became a new person. Become a brand new person in Christ. So here's what it says in 15:22 of New Living, 1 Corinthians 15:22. Just as everyone dies because we belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. Right now, you have a brand new life. Your life, you know, you go to God and you say, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry about the past. God says, there's no past. You might remember it. The devil will remind you of it. Other people might remind you of it, but you're brand new. So when you get water baptized, you're signifying, hey, I'm free. But anyways, let me tell you something. I remember, you know, when you're saved, God becomes your defender. You know, in the, I think it's the 37th or 9 you know, any man be in Christ, in Romans 8 over there, it talks about 37, I think. And if you read it some more, it talks about in there that he'll be your defender. Who can accuse you of anything? I am your defender. And even if you had some problems with legal things, God will defend you. If you're honest, don't try to get out of something and say, I'm going to do it again. No, you're going to have some problems. But if you want to follow Jesus, he will always defend you and help you and have a, you know, a good life. Here's what it says in Colossians 3:1. Since you have been baptized or raised to new life with Christ, this is what happens when you got saved. You raised a new life. Set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at the place of honor at God's right hand. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says this. You know, when Christ is raised at the right hand, we are sitting there with him. That's our position. Okay? So, if somebody asks you what's your position, say, I'm with Jesus at the right hand. Since you have been raised to new life, it says there. So Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not because of our righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. Titus 3:5 says that. Everybody say, new life. New life. Come on, say, new life.
New life.
Say, new birth.
New birth.
See, that's you. You got new life, new birth. And you can stand strong in the Word of God, and you can walk through the valleys with Jesus. No matter how dark it gets, Jesus is there with you. 1 Peter 2:23 says this, for you have been born again, not from a life that will quickly end. Your new life, everybody say new life, will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23. Here's another scripture for you. I'm giving you a lot of scriptures, eh? How many of you are tired already? Yeah? But if you were at bingo, you'd be going, bring it on, buddy. I got two of them. Some people are so hooked to bingo. I know my aunt was that way. She hitchhiked from Long Lac, Suckle Creek to Geraldton to wherever they had monster bingos in town down here. Right? Some people like that. How many of you have uncles and aunts like that? Or was that you? And you know, they'd do anything because you're hooked onto bingo. You know, I'm not hooked. I can quit anytime I want. How many years have you won? You know? Same way, like my uncle, you know, he lived way out in the bush, 50 miles out of town, but he walked a ton because he ran out of tobacco. But he won't walk to church. And his house in town was like just across the street. The church was right there. He never come to church. What a greasy guy. Anyway, backsliders, there's the backsliders, can be born again. Can be born again. they can be baptized too. So you can do your first works over again. So if you're backslidden, if you really, really were backslidden, you caught yourself backslidden, you can be baptized today. You can have yours too. This morning. Can be water baptized again. This can be controversial in some circles, but it doesn't have to be. A backslider who was with God has come back to God. They can be baptized again if they desire. They can do their first works over again. Now, don't just stress out over it. I mean, you don't have to do it. You don't have to agree with this or not. But if a guy wants to, let him do it. Who are you to say you can't do it? He's already born again anyway. But if he wants to, he can. This is where we split. Split the church this morning. How did the church split? Water baptism. And cats. Ezekiel 3:20. All you other, we have a bunch of cat lovers in here. Like this, they really love cats. Ooh, you better not mention my cat again. My daughter-in-law has got cats everywhere in the house. And everybody has like allergies, sneezing away, some people choking on the ground. Oh, that cat, I love my cats. Don't you hate that? You know, we were at the bush there, and this girl, she brings out a big Doberman, and she's this high. She said, oh, he doesn't bite? Doesn't bite you, but it might bite me. You remember the scene? Anybody ever watched the Pink Panther? Remember, what's his name? Clouseau. He comes up to the guy and says, does your dog bite? Remember that? That scene, you know, does your dog bite? And the guy says, no. And he tries to pet it, the dog bites. Blah, 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 blah. He says, I told you, dog doesn't bite. He says, it's not my dog. Wow. Inspector. Le sautier. Is that how you say it? No, that's not how you say it. I'm bushing up the French language. That's not French, somebody said. Well, it kind of sounds like French. I think I do it in Ojibwe. Anyway. We have the responsibility to backsliders. It's awesome, an awesome responsibility. Not to criticize them, but to get them back to God. We don't kick them when they're down. We try to pull them back up. So come on in. Put your arms around someone to strengthen them. Ezekiel 18:24 said, but when the righteous man turns away from his righteousness and committed iniquity and does according to all his abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? And all his righteousness that he had done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he had trespassed, in his sin that he shall had sinned, in them shall he had sinned. I can't read this. You see why I don't preach to the King James? They said, what did he say? What did he say? That's worse than my French. Eh? At least you understood something. He's trying to, you know, talk like Clouseau. Ezekiel 33, we'll try this one, 13. Maybe it'll work better. That means anything he does is not remembered, but that's the old covenant. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, you understand that, don't you? If he trusts to his own righteousness and committed iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity, he that had committed, he shall die for it. Revelation 2 and 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. 2:5 says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Repent and do thy first works. So, you know, from these scriptures we can ascertain that someone who's fallen away can come back and they can be born again, they can be born again, but renew their commitment to Jesus. And yeah, they can get water baptized. So if you have been away, you know, for 30 years or 5 years or whatever it is, and you've committed things that you're not proud of, you can come to Jesus today again, renew your commitment, and be water baptized. Like I said, it's controversial, but listen, how many things are not in the church? But read the Bible. Now, here's something else. Babies do not get baptized. Do not get baptized. Babies do not get baptized. As an infant, I was baptized in water, as they say, sprinkled on my forehead. And they said I was baptized, but I was not born again. I didn't need to be born again when I was an infant. The Bible says my spirit was always connected to God. You know, Pastor Ken says something, come on, be saved and write your name in the books. No, I know he's mentioned that a little wrong there. That's not right, because your name is already in the book. All people, everyone that's born in the world, into this world, your name is written in the book. And if you reject Jesus, it's taken out. That's what the Bible says. You don't come to get saved to have your name written. It's already there. Everybody say, it's already there. See, your name is there. It said if you reject Jesus, it comes out. Read the Bible. It's there. So, babies, they don't have to be water baptized. They don't need to be baptized in water. It's unscriptural to baptize a baby. Again, that's controversial in some circles. But I was baptized in water, but I got saved. You know, I mean, I was saved and got baptized in water. And so I count that as the real thing because I made a decision, conscious decision, that I'm coming to Jesus. I'm repenting of my ways. By the power of God, I will live for Him. Now I will be water baptized because what happened in my spirit. In fact, I went to the directory, they call it directory, where the pastor lives, knocked on the door. I said, I am born again. I just got born again watching Billy Graham. He said, I want to be baptized. He said, you're slapping Jesus in the face. You're already baptized. You're already baptized when you're a child. Last time I went there. And this lady, remember the lady that came here and talked about Bill? Y'all know Bill went to heaven. Her husband was the traveling minister, and he came to our house preaching from house to house, like in the Old Testament or the old church. They went to house, and they came to my house, and I got, you know, I was saved, but I was never baptized. Didn't belong to any kind of church. But he said, we're going to baptize today. I said, well, that's a pretty good idea, but not in November. We did get baptized in water in November. True story. It's not a folklore. So, I did it because I was convinced I needed to be baptized in water. So nowhere in the scripture does it reveal babies are to be water baptized. We only see adults who see their need for repentance of a Savior. Babies, in accordance to the scripture, don't have to be water baptized, for they don't know anything about sin or anything. They're not conscious of sin. They're not aware of sinning. Although they have the Adamic nature, although we are born with the Adamic nature, they have no consciousness or no conscience of sin. They aren't sinners per se until they reach the age of accountability. Some say about 7 or 8 years old, around there, you kind of reach that point where you say, I know what's wrong and right. Or even older, depending on what light they've been given by their parents or the church. Consider Paul's comment about the law of consciousness of sin in Romans chapter 7, verse 9. Are you getting tired? We could have a break right now. Come back for coffee. Okay. So we could have a smoke break. No? I know some guys, they have a smoke break during service and they come back. Some churches, we were like having a great time. All of a sudden, say, okay, we're having a break. We'll come right back. Everybody goes out. I mean, this isn't that long being church, right? But it's warm in here. I don't. Why did you guys keep it warm in here? Is there a reason for that? I know, I'm just teasing. Pastor is Dave back there? Looks like Dave back there. Where is he? Sleeping? Hiding. Romans chapter 7, verse 9. I know this is long. We're going to endure to the end. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. He's talking about a time in your life when you just come to the place in your life when you know right and wrong. I remember as a little kid, we were taught this. We were taught, right and wrong in church and in catechism classes. We were taught that. It says here, the New Living Translation says this, at one time I lived without the understanding of the law. New Living is pretty clear. But when I learned the command not to covet, for instance, the power of sin came to life. That's a certain time in your life when you're a little bitty kid, you recognize, I need to get saved. I remember the time in my life, I was walking home, looking at the sky, thinking about this. As a kid, kids are having this question right now in their lives. Babies are to be dedicated to the Lord. The babies are not to be baptized, but dedicated by their parents. They're responsible for the child's spiritual development. Babies can't make up their mind about Jesus, about repentance or salvation. A parent can make a child or take him into the kingdom of God without them knowing that it's that the child's own, that's their decision to make. Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to be dedicated to the Lord. Every parent should do likewise according to the scripture. Luke chapter 2, verse 22 says that Mary and Joseph took took him to Jerusalem, present him to the Lord. And when we do that dedication, we come and say, I'm presenting my child to the Lord. I am conscious as a parent that I will raise my child to know Jesus and give them a place where they can learn about Christ and walk with Jesus. So we see that there. Why should I be baptized? To fill righteousness, the Bible says. To be obedient to God, to submit to God, to make a dedication to God, and to be a witness. Romans 6, 3 says there, you know not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized unto his death. So when you were baptized in the water, then you're baptized as a witness another time in water to witness to his death. That's what the Bible says. Here's the scripture we mentioned there, 6:4, Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we are should walk in newness of life. Colossians 6:2-12 says, we were buried with him in baptism, wherein you're also risen with him. The proper way is to be baptized in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus gave us. Let's not fight about it. Baptism means to be put into, buried, put into the water, and come back out. So we need to see this is something that God wants us to do. I mean, I could go on and on and talk about all this stuff, but there's so much about this teaching that we could talk about going to different places. So this morning, we're going to be baptizing several people in water around here, out here. So we invite you just for a few minutes to witness that. And we're going to do that right now. Let's all stand. I'm closing because, you know, it's too hot in here. So hot. No, it's really warm. I can see people's sweat coming down. So what are we going to sing? By the Rivers of Jordan? By the rivers of Babylon. Remember that song? Okay. You want me to? I'm coming out of retirement, by the way. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to thank you this morning. We know, all kidding aside, we know that baptism is something you want every Christian to witness or to perform in their life. To really look at the fact that they're newborn people, they're born again people, they're saved, their spirits have been dunked into the body of Christ all over the world, Christians all over the world. They're one family, one in Christ, the Bible says. And many of us have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking with tongues. Many of us had that experience. Anybody can have it. It doesn't have to be in that kind of circle. You could be baptized in water and speak with tongues at the same time. Or you can be saved and fill the Holy Spirit at the same time. So we want to thank you, but we cannot be baptized first and then get saved. We have to be saved and then baptized. And so this morning, we're obeying the command of God. We're following the plan of God for our lives. And when we do, something glorious is going to happen. We'll see the goodness of God, the wonderful things of God. We thank you for the mighty Holy Spirit inside here right now, the power of God in this room right now to bring someone into the kingdom of God. That's conviction power of, yes, I need to be right. I need to come to Jesus. That same power that joins you in marriage to your husband is the same power that joins you to Jesus. The same power that gets you your healing. We want to thank you, Lord God, this morning for that honor. We give you praise and thanksgiving for that. With every eye closed, every head bowed, just for 1 second, is there someone here in the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus, never been born again, never had the opportunity of inviting Jesus to their life? We want to give you the opportunity to come to Jesus, to say, Lord, yes, I never heard this before, but for the first time, I heard it many times, but for the first time, I heard it for sure in my heart. Is there somebody in this room that say, Lord, I need to be born again? Is there somebody here right now? Everywhere I'm looking around, if you lift up your hand and say, Pastor, I need to be born again. Is that you? Or everyone online, if that's you, you go ahead and respond to that. Is there anybody here that says, Pastor, I'm a Christian, I'm born again. Yes, I know I was saved, but I have not been living for you. I have not lived right. I've been doing what we call doing my own thing, but I need to get back to God. I don't have the strength. I don't have the power. Listen, God will give you the power. The Bible says He's going to work in you to give you the power to do what He wants you to do. That's what the Bible says. Philippians 2:13 says He'll give you the power to do that, whatever decision you need to do. So if that's you this morning, the pastor, I'm born again. I was born again. I want to come to God right now. If that's you. Very clearly. Lift your hand up real high. I want to see your hand. And God sees your heart. If that's you. So everyone's saved. But if it's not you, I can't see you. You're on television on the other side of the screen. If you're at home, wherever you are, maybe you're watching from a hotel room. Maybe you're eating breakfast somewhere along the highway and watching this program. If you're there right now, if you're in jail, if you're in a hospital, wherever you are watching this program, I want to let you know that you can be saved right now. Years ago, I heard the message of faith of being born again by Billy Graham. And he said, wherever you are, you can be saved right now. Just say this simple prayer. Very simple. Acknowledging God, His Son, your condition, and your need. They said, Dear God in heaven, everybody said, Dear God in heaven, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. He was sent to this world to pay the penalty for my sins and my salvation. I believe He died on that cross for me. He went to hell for 3 days, was raised again to life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now He's ascended to heaven. I believe that with all my heart. And according to your word, I'm now saved. I'm born again. I'm a new creation. I got new life. I have new birth. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you have afforded me to hear this morning the salvation message in Jesus' name. Now let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every person in this room right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for every person in the name of Jesus. All my friends, family of Faith City Church and all the family members and all the people that are here. God is hearing. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And the prayer of a righteous man brings tremendous power available. I pray that your eyes will be open to see the greater things that God wants you to know about. I pray the door would be open for you so that you will have and travel on in the area where you need to be going right now. I pray that you be situated with divine appointments and divine encounters so that God will lead you in your times of trouble and distress. You will have strength to follow Him thoroughly. And I pray the angels will protect you and help you as you go along, and that everything will be brought to you, and that you won't listen to the naysayers. You'll listen to God's Spirit and God's Word and God's holy people as they exhort you in the things of God. And I bless you going out and coming in forevermore. Someone's been healed in their stomach right now in the name of Jesus. You have been healed in the name of Jesus right now. God bless you. Thank you, Lord God. That irritating problem that's bugging your neck, you're healed right now in the name of Jesus. I'm calling this out right now, word of knowledge. Father, the money is coming to you. Those of you that have been believing for money, money's coming to you right now. Doors open right now in the name of Jesus. The wisdom of God will be there as you take the first step. The second step will open up and another one will open. The third one will open. You'll know exactly where you should be. The word of God is leading and guiding you right now. And some of you are looking for protection. God says, my firewall of protection is on you right now. Nothing shall disturb you. Nothing shall hurt you. I have ordained this day that those against you, I'm against, and you will walk free in Jesus' name. Let's lift our hands and praise Him for that word. Father, we praise You in the name of Jesus for the word, a prophetic anointing in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord God. The fire of God flowing in this room right now. The fire of God is flowing in the room and is now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Jesus.